Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in for this week's episode, Manifesting the Power of PR with our girl Fatu, founder of PR Girl Manifesto. It's going to be a good one, so keep it locked. Hey everyone, it's your favorite girls and we're back for another episode, episode 53, Manifesting the Power of PR.
Awesome. And today we have a special guest at 25 years old, Fatoumata B. Barry, also known as Fatu, is a Guyanese-born, New York City-raised digital mastermind who has created her own PR and branding blueprint, the one we have all come to love and know called PR Girl Manifesto, where she provides aspiring and well-seasoned PR gals tools of the trade to be the comms expert they set out to be. They provide support to their online community via mentorships, workshops, digital Q&A sessions, and more. Fatu is a firm believer in the power of community and shared knowledge to help others create and find opportunities that they can build their foundation from. Join us in welcoming her in today's episode as we get to know another non-corporate girl who's making strides. In her words, yes, being a full-time entrepreneur is hella lit and hella hard. Now let's see why. Stay tuned. Hey girl, hey girl. Welcome. How you like that intro? Right? You out here.
Yes. Thank you for that.
The pull up. Pull up. She's out here red, guys. She's blushing. Love it.
So we're welcome. So excited to have you.
I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you so much.
It has been a little bit dicey trying to get this girl, on
the
here.
Podcast. She's
been busy. Yeah. Right.
I mean, we're not mad at it, no, but we just saying.
No shade.
But look, to kick things off, we want to know what positive highlight you have for the week. Like, share with us.
Okay, so my positive highlight for the week was actually today. So I just got back from Philly where I was with a client, the Fellowship Black Male Educators Convening, and they have this initiative that they do called Suit Up, Show Up. So this morning we welcomed Philadelphia's youth. We had 100 men at the school, and it was
That's just amazing.
Yeah, it was just like really great to see not only like teacher diversity, but just to see like how older people were standing in the gap for kids, like cheering them on their first day of school. And it just reminded me, like, you know, like that support means so much to just, you know, to us just as adults, and to imagine like just walking into that on the first day of school. So that was a great highlight, being able to be a part of that and witness that and just like see how much people care about like enriching like the next generation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was your role in making that happen?
So the organization is actually my client. So we put together the entire thing in terms of coordinating all of the schools that we're going to be participating in, getting press and media out there. So it was cool. We had like NBC, we had Fox Philly, and then CBS. So they were really, they came out this morning and they showed love. So just organizing, making sure that all the pieces were where they needed to be, that Vince and Rashid, who are the clients, were with the media they needed to be with, and everything just running smoothly.
Sounds good.
Wow. Yeah, like, you had, like, a whole full day.
Right. I took off at 4 a.m., girl. My day started at 4, and I went to bed at 2.
And you're still going because she made it out back to New York for this interview. Yes. So shout out
that,
to you.
And we're so happy. So like speaking on that, there's so many things that you do. There's so many components to your job. You kind of want to know a little bit about like, take us through from the beginning. Like how'd you start in branding and public relations? Mm-hmm. How has that elevated since then?
So it's funny, I was 16 when I started working in the industry, and I didn't
16.
I didn't know, it's a really funny story, I didn't know that what I was doing was branding and marketing or any of what I'm doing now. This might age me. I don't know if you guys remember the Camp Rock series.
It was Did you just say this might age me?
But like, so that whole Disney franchise with the Jonas Brothers, Demi Lovato. My friend Jordan was one of the only two like African American characters, so he was Baron, one of the dancing boys.
Oh, yeah. We all like
that's
right.
So funny.
And when he's actually from Toronto, so he didn't have the Disney powerhouse behind him yet. So you know they had Hollywood Records, so there wasn't really like marketing or public relations being done for him. But his mom, she's a very smart woman, Genevieve Burkett. She kind of knew where I excelled at. So I was helping out all his digital assets. I built his MySpace, like, fan page.
MySpace.
Right, his layout, right. So I was doing a lot of what I'm doing now, coordinating like events. He used to do like dance workshops in like New York City. Actually, he did one here, so it's really funny to come back here. Really? Like,
in Ripley?
Like 10 years later, right.
That is so crazy.
So that's how I got started at 16, and that just developed. So when I went away to school, Jen had suggested that I do PR or do marketing as a major, and I did, and I really loved it. Got a gig working at Iconics Brand Group, so they own the licensing to like Rockaware, Badger Mishka, Peanut Brand, Modern Amusement, Team Ice, so a bunch of like brands right, that we all know.
Don't they own Zara?
I don't know if they might have added that to their portfolio, but this was like when I was 18, so this is like 2011. When I was at school.
What school did you go to?
I went to University of Buffalo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Buffalo.
Cold as hell.
I went to school in Syracuse.
Love me some Syracuse. That's what I was doing. So I was like a full-time student, but I was also doing social media management for the Mark Echo Cut and Sew brand. Every time I came home for vacation or breaks, I'd just go into the office and work. And that offered me like my first full-time position post-grad. Did that for 1 to 2 years. Loved it, you know, learned a lot. Worked under a really amazing woman, Alicia Smalls Worthington. She is like the GOAT and gave me a lot of like really cool career opportunities.
Nice.
But I felt like, you know, wanted to explore other things. So I decided to leave and then just kind of started transitioning into doing my own thing and creating like my own platforms and just doing things, you know, for myself. Right. And now I'm here.
Which is crazy because I got to know you through social media. And I feel like I have grown with seeing how your page has grown.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know your previous jobs, but I've seen, like, I feel like our age group, we came into social media at a good time. You knew what to do with it because not everybody knew what to do with it. You know what I'm saying? And so I see people expanding their pages and their reach, and it kind of makes sense because you kind of did that underlying work.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think I even realized. I think I just got really good at, like, telling or showing my story. Mm-hmm. I felt like even one of the things that fueled PR Go Manifesto is, like, kind of feeling like career tips, career things that can help you get ahead are not shared. It's, like, this secret thing.
Right.
So I felt like I kind of wanted to provide what I feel like I didn't get. And that's how a lot of that community building has manifested and, like, the reason why we do what we do through the platform.
Right. And that brings us to our next question, right? Mm-hmm. Why do you think having a digital presence is so important, especially for people of color and women?
Representation matters. And I think
representation matters.
It really does. And I think we look at all these industries, especially an industry like PR, where we're kind of, women of color are known to only be like promoters, or we can only do reality TV public relations, or we can only work with like musicians. So you're looking at, when you're thinking about these high tier media companies, high tier PR firms, most of the time what you see is white women or white men.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and like what happens, people help their people get ahead, right? I'm not saying it's something that's done.
Nepotism is real.
No, it is. So it's like, I think it makes sense, especially if, you know, you are a person of color and you are in these industries, that you are out there, that you are sharing what you know, that you know you're visible, so that people know that they can see themselves in you, because you can't be what you can't see.
Right.
So that was really important for me to like kind of have a digital presence to even start showcasing more of myself through the business brand, because I'm like, you know what, it makes sense for people to understand that a woman of color is behind this, you know.
Right.
Doesn't have to necessarily be anonymous anymore, because I want other young brown
girls. You want it to be relatable.
Right, yeah, I want people to know that they can do it. Yeah. It's not like this industry is not open to you, or you can't, you know, there's not a space for you. So I want them to know that there are people that look like them or look like me in these industries.
That's, I think right now, especially in our society, with representation is really important for everyone. Like, even, like, what we're doing, like, what Homegirl on Black Panther is doing, like, all these little buckets of people who are, like, making strides is really important.
And it's funny because we, like, in previous episodes still talk about this, still, like, first that we haven't accomplished. Like, it gets me upset every time I hear the first black woman in 2018. Why haven't she been doing that?
That is why, it's wild to me that there are spaces and, like, places that we still haven't touched. And I'm like, wow.
So many.
Yeah.
So many, though. It's like, we're making our way, though. We're making the strides.
We definitely are.
So on your like on social media and even on your blog post, you talk about pain points a lot. Mm-hmm. So can you like share two with us and how you've kind of like navigated through those? Because when I read some of those, I was like, we can relate to this.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure, because I've been trying to like practice being more, not right, I've been trying to implement being more transparent.
It's a great word.
It's easy to say, you know, I want to be authentic, I want to be transparent, but that also means that you got to, like,
put yourself out there.
You got to let people know the ugly parts of all this stuff.
It's not easy,
especially if you're someone who, like, doesn't like to be vulnerable. It's definitely a challenge. For me, I'd say my two pain points. One, sometimes self-awareness, just being honest, like, really asking myself, like, do you want to do this or are you just doing this because you think you need to do it? So, you know, and kind of looking through that lens and everything, like, do I really want to take on this client? Do I really want to do this project? Or am I doing it because I think I need to do it? Because I need to be the person that is available. I need to be the person that is supportive or can do this for everyone.
Right.
So I say self-awareness. That's definitely like a battle of knowing, like, what it is that I want and listening to my spirit instead of just being like, nah, I gotta do it. And just seeing what yields the best result for myself. That's one. Two, I would say boundaries.
You've been doing good. I seen your Mondays taking off.
Oh yeah,
social media like breaks that you've been doing.
I don't, and I tell people don't DM me because I will not respond to your DM.
I love it.
I have an auto reply. I say 24 to 48 hours, and even then, that's a courtesy. Because if you don't set your boundaries, people won't. They're not going to be like, hey, I think you need to not respond to my email. I think you need to take this personal day. No one's going to say that to you because it's all a matter of like, oh, I need something from you, I think, or I need something from you. So for me, it's been really important. It's been a pain point that it's becoming a growth or like a high now. It's a grow and a glow instead of it being like a bad thing. Just setting those boundaries and being like, no, I'm not going to do it, or I'm not available right now to do it, and being strict about them. I think those are two pain points that I've been working on and going through.
It's an everyday process, right? Like, there's sometimes you slip up and, you know, we may have boundaries and then we take on a client and we're like,
we just feel the need to like reply to that email because I don't want to miss
exactly,
the moment.
Or whatever. And then I think what that does too is it tricks us because sometimes someone else's urgency has nothing to do with your timeline. There are people who sometimes will wait till the very last minute to try to rush you through something that they had months to prepare, or someone not coming prepared to work with you, and then you're the one like kind of like coaching them through things that your invoice and your retainer didn't cover that, you know?
Dude, first of all, prepared to work with you.
That's great.
I'm
yo!
I use that.
That one is personally.
That's what I felt that.
On a spiritual level.
I felt that. Because, yes.
No, it's true. Like,
that makes so much sense.
And the thing is, sometimes I realize is that people don't have, when you're in certain industries or when you are occupying like a certain position, I think it's an innate thing. It just comes naturally. But other people have to be trained through that. That means you create your workflow. That means you create like the structure and the systems of what it is that you need. So before I even do this, I need all of this to be ready. You know, because what ends up happening if someone's not ready, something I needed to only take 2 weeks to a month could span 7-8 months. And then it messes up your timeline. It messes up what you're doing. And then you know, so again, those boundaries and creating a system for people.
We totally know.
To respect your work.
And to respect their work.
And respect their work, too. No, I agree. Yeah.
Because it's just like, you need to come together.
Agreed.
Get gathered.
Let me gather you real quick.
So, you are a full-time entrepreneur.
Yes.
So,
happy 1 year. I know it was in February.
Yes, happy 1 year.
Shout out. We made 1 year in August.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord, for carrying me.
It's been a lot, I'm sure. Yeah.
And it's when I decided to become a full-time entrepreneur, I had just moved. So I moved in January, moved to Park Slope, because I thought it was...
You live in Park Slope?
No, girl, I moved.
Oh.
I moved. I thought I was Hasidity and like... Yeah. I love Brooklyn.
No, Park Slope is great, but...
Yeah, it's like very much like a family. So I had done that. So I left my job to be a full-time entrepreneur, just moved into a new place, like had all these additional responsibilities. I was like, okay. So it was a year. It was definitely a year of just like really just feeling it out. Kind of, I think you can know how to do something, and you can know what you want, you know, the end result to be, and like what it is that you want to do.
Yeah.
But life is life.
Life be life, and
you can't control like what happens around you. You can't necessarily always control what happens to you. So it's been, I think I learned a lot about like resiliency, about how to trust in myself and to bet on myself. Cause I'm like, damn, I made it a year of like, sometimes you don't know where your next paycheck is coming from, you know? Sometimes you have retainer clients, sometimes you have projects. I'm like, whoa, I made it a year.
Like,
you know?
That net 30, that next 60.
Right.
How do you balance that? Because that can create, even for people that don't have an anxiety, create like that, you know, where you can't even focus on the work because you worry about the money.
The money, no, agreed. I think for me, it was really just, again, this idea of creating systems, of knowing, of planning, of working backwards. I'm like, all right, this is what I have to at least hit this year in terms of revenue. That, what does that look like? You know, how many different combinations of clients, you know? How do I have to change my pricing model? What do I think my time and my services are really worth, you know? Because if you plan and you budget and you, like, you, I guess you fix your rates the way you want to, or you're making money, and you should be doing it to cover yourself for like a couple of months, you know? Like when I like plan out or like do scope of work for clients, depending on the time frame that we're at, you know, I really think about how much time am I putting into this? Mm-hmm. What's my hourly? How many hours are going into this? Because sometimes we undersell ourselves and we're just thinking like, all right, this is like how much I think I'm going to charge them. Charge what your hourly is and then multiply that by how much work and time, you know, is going to get put into that. And like, you should think you're worth, you know, my time should be worth like $200 an hour because I've worked that much, you know, I've put in the work. And I think that's what trumps up a lot of people who go into entrepreneurism just at first.
They already cut themselves short.
Yeah, and it's like such like a rocky, weird place to be, like, damn, like, all right, I don't want to overcharge. But it's not your side hustle anymore.
Right, it's a
your
business.
Livelihood. It's your business, it's your livelihood, it's how you pay your rent. Tie your clothes on your back,
put food. I have to say, you're like really strategic though. Like, just in everything that you're talking about and how you've approached this, it's really strategic. Cause I'm
so prepared.
I know a lot of people who
they just throw themselves in and then they gotta go back to working on spot, which is totally fine.
Yeah,
no, but
I've definitely like had moments where I'm like, do I really want to? Because this trip that my friends are taking looks great. This paycheck, this like not having to worry, not having to go home to do work.
Yeah.
Weekends are still like it. I've had moments. I think what's helped though is to like really have other friends who are entrepreneurs and kind of really like to have honest conversation with them and like see how their systems work and like see what they're doing, and then being able to take that and kind of like model, okay, I know that this worked for X, Y, and Z, so this is the foundation that I have to start at for that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's helped in helping me be strategic. Even hearing that, I'm like, damn, I'm like strategic? Because I'm like, feel like I'm feeling around in the dark.
Maybe it's because you're a year already and you kind of like worked through a lot of things that have worked and not worked for you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what's coming on.
Okay.
But I just feel like we know people who like, it's just kind of like, yeah, I'm an entrepreneur and like shit is a mess, you know? And it's just like, and life is a mess. Mm-hmm. It's a mess. Like, we're all a mess.
Mm-hmm.
But you just seem very like, not tunnel vision, but you have a clear idea of like,
of how we can arrive to this.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think I know what the end goal is. I think I know like where I'd like to see my career go and like what I'd like to do with the work that I'm doing. And I think that helps me like navigate backwards.
Yeah.
So that might be where the strategy comes in.
In speaking to the ad, working backwards, like what does it take for a client? Like what does it take to be able to work with you? Like if I'm a client, like what?
Ooh, it depends honestly on what avenue we're working together. Cause one of the great things that I think I love about like my career journey or like what I've been able to do is I've been able to work in different industries. So, you know, I've done the branding, graphic design, I've done the PR, I've done the social media, I've done the event planning. So I'm able to offer, you know, I'm not saying I'm a Jane of all trades, but there are different things I can offer different people. So the process is a little different for everyone. But the first step is honestly having a real honest conversation. I used to not do consultation and just do project. Like you could just, all right, submit your project inquiry. And I'm like, hell no, never. I will never
that
go
consultation's
back.
Key.
I will never go back to that. Because one thing, too, is just like, being an entrepreneur doesn't mean that you are somebody's slave. Mm-hmm. That, you know, just because someone...
Yo, Carla's... First of all, Carla's in the room over here. And she is snapping it away.
No, it's true because... I might go off tangent a little bit on that. Because I think we live in an age, which is crazy, where people think if they pay you, if they give you money, they own you.
Mm-hmm. Yo.
And they are entitled to everything, and that's not
your edges and all.
That's
like,
not the case. And I'm like, I had to check myself several times and be like, wait, why are you even like
coming at me this way? Will you do that to your boss in a 9-to-5?
Like, why am I sitting here like having all this anxiety or feeling like someone
having all
like,
this energy?
Right, and someone is like, you're not my mom. Like, you know, there's so many things that I think as entrepreneurs we allow clients sometimes to treat us, not realizing we can fire. Clients. You can fire clients, you can invoice them for the time you put in, the time you spent,
and
then just refund them whatever is left, whatever payment option or plan y'all figured out. And that's that. Like, you don't have to. And I think sometimes the fear of losing out on money, or just, like, reputation or feeling like, oh, I need this to work out because I don't want someone to say they didn't work, they couldn't work with me. And I think that's a fear we need to let go of because you're not going to be for everyone. There's no reason
that
you ever
so
should
true.
Be. And that's also the same in business. We think and talk about it a lot as it relates to, like, people in our lives.
Right.
But in business, too, like, you're not going to be for everyone. There's a reason why your target demo is going to be your target demo because the way you work, whatever you do, is going to be aligned with what they want. That doesn't mean, like, everyone is going to respond to that. And that's a fine.
That's a great caveat.
Snap. So, that being said, how would you define success? Like, what does that mean for you?
That's such a weird question because I feel like success... No, I can't speak today, y'all. Wow. I feel like I'm like success. I developed a lisp. I think success looks different at different stages of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So, things that I thought, you know, oh, yeah, I'm successful before, like, 2 years ago, I don't look at it the same way now.
Sure.
For me, I think success just currently, right now where I'm at in my life, looks like being able to live comfortably, looks like being able to, you know, support my family, looks like doing work that I love and, you know, that I feel good about. So, perfect example, if you had asked me 2-3 years ago, I'd be like, yeah, success to me means, like, working with all high-profile, like, brands and clients and, you know, a bunch of stuff. Like, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to be here. And now, it's like, I really just really want to work with brands and people who are doing good for other people. So you'll notice, like, there's a transition in the type of clients that are on my roster now. They're all minority-owned, female-owned, or female-founded, people of color who come from underrepresented or marginalized groups, or people who are doing work in their communities. And I'm like, okay, I never thought that I'd be going that way. So
it kind of fell on your lap.
That's I was just like, oh, okay. I feel good about this work.
Yeah.
You know, I feel good about even just talking about today's, what we did with our client this morning. I feel good about that. More good about that than getting, like, someone's, and then this is not demeaning, like, fashion brands, but I like those press hits more than I like, oh, okay, I got a client, and, like, I got a client. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
things
right.
like that. Those things
meaningful.
Feel, yeah, they feel good.
Yeah.
So.
So, is there, like, a particular project or something that you haven't worked on that you want to work on?
In just in life?
In life, yeah.
Like, what would be, like, your go-to pitch that if they told you we're going to bring you on?
Or, like, a passion project.
Okay. Well, I think more so a passion project. It's something that I'm really... that I am embarking on, but I'm excited to do because I've never done it before. Kind of just working in the not-for-profit sector and creating something that I feel like leaves a lasting legacy. So, like, if a not-for-profit told me today, like, hey, you know, please come work for us. So, like, we want to build, like, a clinic or we want to build schools, like, internationally.
Yeah.
I think that's something that I'd be like, yeah, like, I want to.
Let's
do
dope.
It. Yeah, let's do it. So.
Things have definitely, like, transitioned for you.
Yeah,
like,
no, it's really interesting, like, to be, like, how you, as you change, as you become more self-aware, how everything around you changes, too.
Mm-hmm. Self-awareness.
Because things align.
Important.
It makes you align with the things that are for you.
For sure.
Agreed. Yeah.
So tell us, like, what's next for your personal brand and your businesses?
Ooh.
You have a lot going on.
No, I'm like, ooh. right, thinking about my, like, ooh. Definitely, I think developing the agency that we kicked off was it February? It was February. So me and one of my good friends and business partners launched a business together. Mm-hmm. It's a creative agency. It's an experiential agency. And so we've got some pretty cool clients. Continue to develop that and really like onboarding more hires, working with more clients, and just having it mean something. Right. So I'm excited for that. Excited for the growth of Piargo Manifesto. We've got a phase two of new rollouts that I'm really, really, really happy about. For a while, it really was just me. So I was struggling to maintain everything, yeah. maintain this community, and also maintain like client work. But we've onboarded some pretty like dynamic women yeah. who've been helping get shit done.
Shout out to y'all.
Right, no, for real. So I'm excited about that. Planning my first conference. So I'm excited. Ooh, about yes. 2019. Ooh. Put a plug in there. Manifest her.
Oh, I saw that. Okay. I saw that.
So I'm really excited about that
that's
too.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So I'd say those are the next stages.
How do you juggle or manage these different brands and projects that you're doing? Because there's only one Fox 2.
Like,
only
my face. Like,
there's another Fox 2 I know, because I don't know if you have
God,
a...
God. The like, Lord lifts me up.
Because, like, girl, like...
No, that's such an interesting question, because I'm like... You know, we talk about transparency and, like, the process. Every day, there's something that I feel like I dropped the ball on that I didn't do the way that I was supposed to do it. Getting better at planning. Getting better at being realistic, too. Like, I'm not going to tell you I'm going to have something by the end of the week. I'm like, no, give me 2 weeks. Like, you know, like, something, like, being...
It'd be those little things.
It's really those, because then, like, the week comes and goes by and you didn't even touch, like... So, for perfect example, Monday, I blinked, and this week was gone. I don't know how it's Thursday. Yeah. I really don't. Right. I have not touched my computer. I've spent, I think, a total of, like, 4 hours just in front of my computer. Everything, time else, I've been on the go. I've had to have, like, everything on Do Not Disturb. So, it's like, whoa, I'm coming back to communication now, and I'm like, thank God I didn't promise anybody anything this week, because they were not going to get it.
Right.
Yeah. So
that's real.
I'm still working at it. I think just getting better... being more honest with what I can and cannot do with myself, and then being able to share that same level of transparency and honesty with other people.
Do you speak to, like, communicate with your clients constantly, like, or is it a touch base?
It depends. There are some clients that I know I need to over-communicate, and there are some that I know, like, are good or, like, don't need that, like, constant, like, hey, this is happening, this isn't, you know, this is, even if it's, like, the smallest thing,
right.
They don't need to know about it, so... It really depends. I am trying to step away from being an over-communicator just because it goes back to that balance thing of, like, you know what? Mm-hmm. As long as the work is being done and we touch base, like, that's the foundation. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be up your ass. You don't need to be up my ass. So it really depends on the client, but I am trying to transition to more something that's automated. You know who taught me that too? Emily.
Girl, cause automation Emily, and her funnels.
Listen,
right?
Yeah, Emily's like, I don't want, and she always tells me, like, stop making yourself so available. She's like, automate all this stuff, you know, make your systems easy so that it's just like it works. Like, you submit something, you get an email. So I think that's the way that I'm trying to transition.
Just into becoming that.
Yeah.
What's like your go to? Like, are you a planner type of girl? Like, send alerts? Like, you use Outlook? Like, what are some tools you use to keep you, like, remembering things that you need to get
done? I'm an everything type of person.
Okay, whatever.
I'm an everything.
Whatever works.
Whatever works. But what I've found more recently is that I'm a visual person to the T. Like, I need to be able to write it and then cross it off. Like, even if I get a reminder, there's no real guarantee, because something could happen in that moment, I could forget.
Oh my God,
it.
That's me
right.
too, though.
Something could happen, I could not respond to an email and be like, oh wow, I didn't even realize I didn't respond to this email, right. or I do it in my head.
Right.
So, I legit need to write everything down now, like, alright, did you do this, Fatsu? No, you didn't. You need to do this, you need to do that. Remember to call, because there's something about seeing it, and then being able to cross it off, mm-hmm. and knowing that you've, you know, okay, this is what I've done for the day, and I've taken care of all this stuff. So, yeah, I'd say I'm a planner, I'm a to-do list, I'm a notepad type of person, yeah.
Got it.
Because I tried the digital thing, and it is what, it works sometimes.
Right, because it's almost like another thing to do.
Yeah, it's like a process, it's like another step, yeah.
Got it. Well, thank you for sharing that. We want to know now who your hashtag obsessed with is.
Well, damn, I feel like I have several people.
You can say more than one.
Can I do, like, a community or, like, a type of, like...
Yeah.
So, in the vein of transparency, I'm really obsessed now with people who have brands and, like, have platforms, but are using it to showcase who they truly, truly, truly are. I know you guys did, like, an event, and you had Cheyenne.
Yes.
Mm. And she posted this, the picture she posted yesterday, no, not yesterday, a couple
the
of days
other
ago.
The other day, yeah.
Crying, you know, really... I really, like, I'm obsessed with her, like, yeah. her spirit and, yeah. like, you know, people who do have that platform and who have that audience but are not using it to paint you, like, a cookie-cutter picture of anything. Because yeah. to be able to, like, see that and be like, you know what, like, okay, someone else is going through it. I'm not feeling alone. Like, it really, yeah. like, you know,
it resonates.
It resonates. It's relatable, and I think it's commendable because let's even think about, like, the summer that we had. Like, the Kate Spade thing really messed me up when she said that she didn't want to let people know yeah. what was going on because she felt like it would ruin her brand. I'm like, that's a bird.
That's crazy.
Like, just think of it. And I think a lot of us subconsciously do feel like that
yeah.
and don't express it. Because that shook me because I'm like, you know what? There have been times where I haven't said something or I haven't shared something.
Because I don't want to be judged.
Because I don't want people to, like, be like, oh... She doesn't have it together. Right. Like, mm-hmm. you know, to give them that window to be like, to throw rocks at, like, right. you know, my glass house. So,
yeah.
So I'm really obsessed with people who, you know, are taking control of their narrative and not letting their flaws or anything that might not be going the right way, you know, be pushed to the back burner because of their platforms or because of their brand. So that's.
I love that. Yeah,
those are the type of people. I think Cheyenne's just a great example.
She's a great example.
She's a great face of, yeah. like, stepping out of her comfort zone.
For real.
And, like, bringing people in a kumbaya space.
Yeah.
Like,
you in know a what? Safe it's cool. space. Yeah, it's inspiring. Another person does it really well. She's a blogger. I think it's Charlie G. She's from Detroit. She's amazing. And she shared, like, a recap of, like, her struggles with, like, depression and anxiety. Mm-hmm. And it really, like... There's, like, this duality, but there's also this, like, you know, like, you can have all these things going right for you, but you can also be going through your own personal storm, and
yeah.
that's okay, you are allowed to,
yeah.
you know? So I'm really, like, I appreciate and I'm obsessed with, like, those two currently, yeah.
Because I think the empowerment is to see that although the storm is happening within,
mm-hmm.
you can still continue and try to fight through.
Of
Don't
course.
Let that storm drown,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying?
And also understanding, I think, that... You know, your life is your life, and I think sometimes when we build these things or when we're in these spaces, we forget that, and we start thinking, like, okay, I can't do this because I don't want to upset my audience, or I don't want my audience to feel like that, but, like, you gotta take care of your shit.
A, B is your audience.
Yeah.
It's your platform.
Exactly.
You just do whatever
you
want to
do.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not, you know, who... In most cases, I think when you have a really strong community, of course, they're there, like, to support you. But, like, at the end of the day, you got to do it yourself. You got to
yeah.
deal with whatever's manifesting, you know, in your spirit, in your heart, in your life. So I think it's...
Agreed.
Yeah, it's important that we have more people who take on that role or who are open to showing us
mm-hmm.
those, you know, their scars. And, like, you know, these are not my scars. Like, you know, these are... This is what makes me me, so...
Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And speaking to that, what is to you the PR Girl Manifesto?
Ooh, this is the brand or just like
you know what
mm-hmm.
what that embodies, like
yeah.
what is
like who is that?
Yeah,
I think it's a little bit of like it's a little bit of everyone. I think for me when I did PR Girl Manifesto, I wanted to create a community of women who felt empowered, of women who understood that, like, yeah, professional development is great, and we're going to give you all the tools you need, we're going to be, you know, connect you to people, but
right.
it's also a personal development thing, like,
mm-hmm.
So for me, the PR Girl Manifesto is the career woman who, you know, is passionate, has purpose, but is a human being, you know, she's not stush, she's not, like, walking into rooms like, oh,
Hassididdy,
no, she's not, like, she's a human being, she has a sense of humor, hopefully. and she's just really, like, trying to be the best that she can be, you know, for herself, for her career, and kind of, like, bringing people up with her. Yeah.
That's dope. That's real.
Yeah.
This is, like, a real, like, transparent conversation. I appreciate this.
Yeah. Thank you for creating a space to talk about, you know, and to have an honest conversation.
Yeah. We need it, you know.
More people need to listen and see that there's examples that exist of people like, we regular, degla, shmegla, but we out here making moves as well.
We try.
And we want to have a good time and turn up.
And we do.
And listen, we allowed to.
Listen, you could be.
We popping.
You could be Coretta and Cardi B.
Yes!
Okay. Did I say that today?
Yes.
I said that today.
Yes.
So now we're going to get into some fun stuff. Ooh. So we have a little game we want to play with you. You want to kick us off?
Sounds good. So this is just called In One Word, Tell Us. So I'll ask you a question and just tell us the one word.
Okay.
So how will you describe your style?
One word.
Comfortable.
You know what? I respect it.
Me too.
Your wardrobe staple.
Black.
Black.
Facts. As we're in black.
I'm like, hey, today y'all caught me on like, I'm like, what? I got camel. I got red.
You fancy.
You caught me on a
day. How does living in New York City make you feel?
Ooh. Conflicted.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does it?
I resonate with that.
Favorite self-care thing to do?
Bath bombs.
Lush.
Yeah,
listen, I'd be a lush one. Taking all my money.
Right, take it. Throw it away.
Item you cannot leave home without.
Laptop.
How do your friends describe you?
I'm like, oh, okay. Probably. Damn, I can't. It's not one word. My friends always like to tell me I do the most. Like, I'm team too much, so let's make it a hashtag team too much.
One word.
And your favorite vacation destination?
Capri. It's in, so my best friend is from Capri, so we grew up.
Really?
Yeah, so I grew up with summers going over there and spending time with her.
Oh my God. That's the life.
That reminds me of like, The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
My favorite movie.
I love that
movie. You
know
it's gonna be a three.
Wait, they're doing a re-
I didn't know.
Yes.
I'm all in it.
So you used to go every summer to Capri? Like, I was just stuck on that.
No, we'd alternate. It's so beautiful. But we took it for granted growing up.
Yeah.
So we were like, you know, we're like 9, 10.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, okay. Like, and now I'm like, bro, I wish I could just get up
now
every summer.
Now people beasting to get there.
And go and be on that multi-coast hike.
Yes. My dream. Their best lives.
My dream.
But it's still my favorite, like, vacation destination. Yeah.
When was the last time you went?
Might have been like 14. Yeah, it's been a while, yeah. Because, like, that's the year, like, that I started going to see, like, family back home in Guinea. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have those summers together anymore. But I should go back soon. Yeah, her parents have been telling me, like, to come with them on their next.
Do you guys keep in touch?
Yeah, I've known my best friend since I was 6 years old.
Oh, like, I'm coming in your suitcase, though.
Oh, girl, let's go. Let's go.
Y'all were pamper buddies.
I'm like, yeah, we've been in so many things. But it's cool to like just have someone who's seen you on like every I think period of your life.
Yeah.
Like we know each other in and out, but we're still learning new things about each other as we grow into like, you know.
Yeah, it's different amazing. Parts. Yeah. Like, what does she do?
She actually studied the same thing I studied. She's actually about to go into real estate, but she's done film. She's done PR, and now she's gonna go into real estate. She has a lot of different likes and interests, so it's like she's always down to just like explore them. Yeah,
that's what life is about.
Oh, yeah, I'm like, do it, girl.
Yeah, so young too.
I'm like, do it.
Like, we still young.
I know, right? Time. She was like that age. Me, I'm like,
don't
be seasoned. We are seasoned, okay? I'm forever 21.
Okay.
Like, forever 21.
Celebrating my 21st birthday for like the fourth time.
Yeah, or something like that.
Oh, you know. Oh my God, well, this has been amazing.
This was amazing, but we also have to allow you to introduce yourself. I introduced you in the beginning. And so how do you want to introduce... She's like, oh my God. Like, what do you want people to know who Fatu is?
Damn.
Deep. We're deep.
I I love it. I mean, listen, I think Fatu Mata, Binta, whatever variation, you know what I mean? Honestly, just a regular person, a regular girl trying to, like, live life and manifest the things that she, you know, she feels passionate about. So whatever form that takes, you know, I think for me the most important thing for people to ever walk away and talking to me is that, you know, there are changes that I want to make. There's an impact that I want to leave on the world. And, you know, I'm forever in the pursuit of that. So, yeah, I mean, it's a hard question when you want people to know about you. But I'd say that is probably the most important thing.
That's good. That's evolving. That's an evolving answer.
Yeah, of course. I'm sure in a year I'll say something different. Like, I want you to know me as the Cardi B of public relations.
I can see that.
I love it.
Well, thank you guys for listening. Make sure that you keep locking in. And shout out to Carla who came through today.
Yes.
Episode.
Hey, guys. Tell the people.
I love it.
And that's a wrap.
We out.
Thank you for tuning into episode 53, Manifesting the Power of PR with Fatu Barry. Stay tuned for episode 54. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Non-Corporate Girls. Don't forget to follow your favorite girls, Ayana at the_Aya_brand, Delilah at Miss Delilah C. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter on our website, www.noncorporategirls.com. Bye.